So we have one more session before lunch. Reverend Meshach Zulu. I was hoping to call him Dr. Meshach Zulu by this point, but anyway, it's coming very soon. And he is the business manager and a lecturer at the Baptist Theological Seminary of Zambia. Are you acting? No, Rodney's here, that's right. And but he is, you're still helping with Baptist Fellowship of Zambia, the denomination there, and an old friend. I told someone yesterday he was my wife's father. He didn't like that. He made him feel old. But we've known him from when the first day I arrived in Africa in 1997, he was standing outside the airport waiting on me. And he's still here. Thank God for that. Brother, come and talk to us about the seminary and the local church, please.
Good morning. It is indeed a great privilege of mine to be able to have this opportunity to bring a presentation, especially on the church and the seminary. My gratitude, especially that many of my faculty colleagues are here. I'm very, very grateful that we do have a good complement this morning. Hopefully, we will be able to go away fully energized and having gained some good momentum to be able to impact the churches in Zambia. It is maybe 5 years ago when we had this student come to seminary. He did his interviews. He was very excited. And soon we admitted him. After a few months, I got a call from my principal, you know, urgently, please come over. Come over. Charles has packed his bags. He's about to leave. Would you come over? We talk to him. So I dropped everything that I was doing. And yes, surely, Charles had packed his bags and he was ready to leave and go back to where he came from. So we sat him down, we began to talk to him, big guy, and he began to cry and pleaded with us to let him go. But somehow we came to a point where Charles thought he would give it some chance. And we called other people, help him take his bags back to his house. And so he hung around. A few weeks ago, Sunday evening, I'm sitting at home and I get a message on my phone. And who is sending this message? Charles. He's now graduated and he's pastoring. Out of the many things that he said, this is what Charles says. I'm now facing the reality of what I learned in class. And I'm trying my best to apply the things I learned in seminary. I'm still grateful for knowledge and experience of the seminary because it has really made my ministry life better. Showed it to Teresa, my wife, and we just praised the Lord in light of what I just shared with you. Another story of one of our graduates who came from a rural place with his wife. They went through seminary. One of those people that you see who come, they're very excited. They do all the learning that they can. And they went back to the very place where they came from, which is very unusual because when people leave the rural places, they come to the city, they rarely go back. But this couple went back to where they came from. After a while, we were visiting, and the members of that church were concerned about the couple. And they said this, "This man and his wife, since they came back from your seminary, teach and preach in English with an interpreter. The question, is this what you taught them in seminary? I would like to also say that this speaker appreciates his time in seminary. He really didn't love all the classes. In actual fact, the first few months, I was very miserable. Very, very miserable, because that's not exactly what I thought seminary was going to be about. So my wife would always say, it's going to be all right. You're going to get over it. It was so difficult until the church that I now pastor and now a member called me as an associate pastor. And the moment I began to save and confront the realities of ministry, suddenly my seminary became my savior. I began to hang on to everything that I was picking out of class in my teaching of Sunday school and working with the youth and everything that I did. Suddenly my eyes opened and I began to love it. And I knew at that point, if I was going to survive, I needed to apply myself to everything that I was receiving in my seminary classes. So I come to you this morning with lots of gratitude for each one of those academic institutions that I have been associated with, beginning with the one in Lusaka, the Baptist Seminary in Cape Town, and now even with the Southwestern Baptist Seminary. I think that the knowledge that I acquire is the very reason why there is fulfillment, desire, love, and to keep going and to give my all while I can, because I've just come to love it. I have come to love seminary, and I've just come to love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say to us this morning that God is at work in all places, and churches are being started, churches are growing, spiritual renewal from place to place, not just in Zambia, clear across the globe, and more specifically here in Africa. I also know that in some places, church growth is slow. Nevertheless, Christ is building his church. And we just heard a few minutes ago, he says in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. And that is clear to every one of us. All we do is to come alongside what he is doing himself, and that is the privilege that is mine and yours. And we can appreciate even those that save in the hard places. Yet the growth of the church is reason for rejoicing and reason for deep concern. When the number of believers is multiplying and new churches are being started, there is a desperate need for adequate leadership to lead, to guide, to take care, and to assume those shepherding roles that are required. Reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ yet again in Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, when he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. In other words, brothers and sisters, there are not enough leaders that seminaries are producing today. And I can give the case of our own seminary. This year, We have been around 50 years, having started with the first class in 1969. This is 50 years. And when you take time to count how many graduates we have had over the years, maybe we could go to 500, not more than 500, meaning that over the 50 years, we have been producing at the rate of 10. Then you begin to think about our churches. Our churches are in excess of 2,000, the ones that we cooperate with. So we are not able to produce sufficient leadership to be able to meet the need for leadership in those places. That's why we now have had to move. We do Bible schools, and we have more than 40 Bible schools clear across the country. But even that is not sufficient to meet the need for leadership in our Baptist churches in Zambia. So I'm saying that no enough leaders are being produced to meet this need, and so leadership development is clearly lagging behind the growth of churches in many, many countries. There are countries that are doing well, but in many, many countries, leadership development is lagging behind. Church leaders are being added one at a time, but not quick enough to meet this reality. So when we talk about seminary and the church, what is the reality then? Much of the work needed in the churches largely depends and revolves around trained leadership. That's why I like the theme for this Upton conference: gaining momentum creates an aspect of urgency, both to the church and seminaries. Something needs to be done. And the Lord says, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So we need to be out, devoted, and doing all we can, spending ourselves and giving all that we can to this particular ministry of preparing men and women. And I know that there are many of us that have sacrificed much for this particular subject of theological education, especially when we talk about the pioneers. And some of these men shared this morning about how the beginnings were. Not easy. Very, very difficult. And yet, as we labor, we desire to produce servants, men, who will perpetuate the same going forward. It's not always like that, because seminary sometimes has a way of turning men inward. It's supposed to help us to become better servants, but it turns us into kings. And when we have people that have come through school and they go away, suddenly the education creates a disconnect between the knowledge they've gained and their hearts. And yet what we desire is to make sure that there is that continued connection, making us to be more Christ-like and serving like Christ. So theological education, though confronted by these tensions that I'm mentioning, represents the responsibility of the church to prepare its leadership for the present and even for the future. And I will also say, leadership is the key to the growth of the church. So why the seminary? Let me just briefly say this about the seminary. The Greeks talk about theology as the pursuit for true knowledge. What kind of knowledge? An organized body of information and knowledge that, of course, they are known to pursue. And that is what their understanding was. And some of that has filtered into the seminary, and that is what we are there for. The Latin also carried your meaning, scientia, knowledge, the habit of the soul, being able to create a difference between truth and error. And I think that from those definitions, this is an enterprise of investigation and reflection. It is this dual meaning that has affected theological education as we have it today. In those days, clerical schoolmen were introduced to this kind of study as far back as the 11th century AD. For them, knowledge was an enduring characteristic of the soul, something that they sought and something that they wanted. And theology, as it comes, a cognitive disposition and the orientation of the soul, having the character of knowledge. And this is very, very obvious in most of the learning institutions that we go into. There is quite a body of information, so much that has been written, so much that is being passed on day after day. Seminaries come somewhere around the 19th century alongside modern schools in divinities, in various universities. And their purpose was simply this: designed to train the clergy along confessional lines. There was an innovation at that particular time to check the excesses of private tutors that had arisen in those public universities that these seminaries needed to check. So there is a very, very critical role that seminaries did at inception, which continues even today, and ultimately served to train the clergy. However, then the model of delivery was developed, and this historical critical method that was developed was fourfold, and largely around dogmatics, church history, biblical studies, and practical theology, and all designed to prepare the church workers. Fast forward. In the Western churches, seminaries became residential academies that were designed as the best method of delivering this kind of preparation and education to those men who would serve the church. This is the same method that missionaries, as they cross over to other lands like Africa, bringing the gospel with them, beginning to plant churches, suddenly realize there is need to have leaders who will watch over these churches. And likewise, they go ahead and they establish seminaries on the same pattern as those seminaries in the West. So what do we see? Mission agencies taking upon themselves to sustain these institutions. And these are some of the things that they did as they began to minister through seminaries. They met the cost of construction and even the maintaining of these seminaries in totality, because the church in Africa was still in infancy. They also provided the required faculty. Going forward, they kept the cost on the part of the student to the minimum. And I think that that was a good thing, and yet we have not transitioned enough in this day that we can be able to equate the cost of this education with what the students are able to pay. And this is what is affecting most of our seminaries even today, because that has really been slow, what the students pay. And it's not unusual for anybody to ask you first, are you going to give me a scholarship if I come to study at your school? And you have to say, no, that's not the way it works anymore. The curriculum that was taught and lent was also something that they brought. So we also have taken the same pattern as nationals, as we have assumed responsibility. We continue to deliver theological education more or less on the same pattern. From the above and from my own experience, I hold strong convictions regarding the need for collaboration in these brief moments that I have talked about the church and the need for leadership and for theological education and for the delivery of the same, that all these are valuable and none is insignificant from the other as we seek to fulfill the Great Commission. Therefore, seminaries can only admit students, and we admit students who are recommended to us by local churches. And we would love to have students who come with a recommendation of the local church. You know, even today, most seminaries, they want to know, are you still active in your local church? And if you're not active in your local church, your registration process stops until they hear from your local church. Then things can proceed. So seminaries can only function with local churches being in tandem. Churches, co-pastors that have been prepared by seminaries. Churches trust seminaries. And I will repeat, churches trust our seminaries because of the track record and because of what is produced. Any one of us, the greatest joy that will come to those of you in this room this morning is when you think about some of these men that come to you. You see them the first day they come, and then you see them when they go away. Something happens. So that is why churches, co-pastors that they know have come from a school of great credibility. And that is what our Baptist seminaries really do. And so this is important, that seminaries, and as we are this morning, should basically see ourselves as servants of churches, assisting local churches in training the leaders that we need. When we come to our discussion this morning, once I am done with this presentation, the question will be, how can we see ourselves as servants? How can we better serve our local churches? Seminaries contribute much to the ministry of pastors and leadership in the local churches. What then are churches doing in building viable relationships with the seminary? I would say, I know churches are not here, but the leaders in the churches are here. The ministry of the church requires constant engagement with those who practice theological education. If there isn't that engagement, then we will disconnect and we will be going one way and the churches will also be going another direction and there will be no proper or appropriate collaboration. So what I'm saying is that theological education requires an ongoing work and ministry that depends on the goodwill of the church. That's the only way we can continue this ministry. So we need to deal with this two-way relationship in such a way that as practitioners of theological education, we can gain insight into the fundamental questions that are happening on the ground of our local churches and how we can be able to respond and prepare these men in an appropriate way. Let me now just come and give you a couple of things that I think could be considered, and some we are doing, others we are not, and how we can continue to do these things in the very best way possible. One way to achieve this collaboration and the building of that viable relationship is for the seminary to hold annual pastors' conferences and to invite serving pastors and help to teach them new theological trends and at the same time get feedback from them. That is very, very important. Another way is to create a viable alumni association that will respond to the needs of the seminary. I have a statement here. No alumni should graduate with bitterness, with anger, with indifference toward the seminary and its faculty. Unfortunately, sometimes this happens. And that is what makes the relationship between the seminary and the church almost cold and sometimes non-existent. I think that sometimes you look through the support system of the seminary, many times we get the least support from those who have gained the most from theological education that has been provided, and these are the alumni. So we need to do more in courting our alumni and bringing them on board. The seminary needs to provide regular reports of its activities to the denominational leadership and to churches, and this can be done through various ways: newsletters, annual reports, denominational promotions, seminary open days, today Facebook, Twitter, constantly updating websites, and every other way method that can be employed to make sure that we remain visible before the churches. Seminaries should be able to invite local pastors, cause them to be friends of the seminary, and use them in seminary programs like chapels and any other programs that may be going on at the seminary. We need to bring in these pastors so that they can participate and they can have that kind of understanding. And sometimes we can also use them as adjunct faculty. I'm also saying that denominations and churches also need to invite the faculty of the seminary to their churches to lead in special programs and to promote theological education, giving them an opportunity to promote theological education in their churches. Seminaries should continue and should see it as something that is practical and good for them to send students to the churches for supervised practical experience or internship and be able to get feedback. And that collaboration between the local churches and the seminary as the students go back and forth is very, very important. May I also say that churches should also be able to budget and provide support to the seminary annually. I think this has been the biggest letdown for seminaries. No wonder seminaries are trying to be innovative, and some have even moved to become secular universities. They've abandoned their initial calling of providing leadership for the churches. And the primary reason why most seminaries are abandoning their initial ministry is because they want to survive. And I think that this is where churches can come in and provide sufficient resources that we can adequately focus and do our ministries. May I also say, on the subject of curriculum, that seminaries should consult churches regarding the relevance of their curriculum and the need for revision, if any. At whatever time, seminaries should be able to go to the churches and even to the graduates and get feedback whether what they have received is helping and what it is that can be done to improve, so that whatever that the seminary does is appropriate and is able to meet the needs of the churches, because we exist for the church. There could be many, many other things that I could say, but I will stop here and turn this over to you and be able to have some discussion. Among the questions that I have given you, another one is, now the seminary serving the church, are there other ways by which seminaries could have an ongoing relationship with the church that will positively impact its ministry? So that's the other question that we can turn and discuss to each other. How do we also see ourselves as servants of the church? And how can we do better?